Hey, everybody. Trump for Congress? You heard me right. This episode, we explore a provocative and unique idea that might help save the Republic. I really want to hear your thoughts on this episode and this idea. So email me your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. Email the thoughts alongside your subscription to The Charlie Kirk Show, and you might just win a signed copy of the MAGA Doctrine. Trump for Congress, we explore it amongst many other topics. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Look, a lot of you guys have had Mike Lindell's back. I know a lot of you guys want to continue to have his back. And the amazing company that you guys are supporting is MyPillow. The inventor and CEO of MyPillow, Mike Lindell, is fighting very, very hard. And a lot of you guys say, I want to reward courage. If you go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code Kirk, you guys can basically get this amazing pillow that they sent me. You guys can get Giza Dream Seats. You guys can get toppers, robes, you name it. If you want to support the good guys, support people with courage, I know a lot of you guys do, MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. Remember, all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. And you can get the Giza Dream Seats. You can get the whole thing. Go to MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. Welcome back, everybody. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. I love creative, off-the-wall, positive ideas. I love history. So I like things that have happened before. If they work and if they show a blueprint to be able to defend freedom and this beautiful constitutional republic. So I have a provocative idea, and other people are posing this in one way or the other. I actually came up with it independent of other people, but I think it's important to share. Steve Bannon has said something similar to this, other people as well. I would love to hear your thoughts on this, though. The midterm elections here are going to be some of the most important midterm elections in American history. Republicans are in a very favorable position to take back the House of Representatives. Midterms traditionally have very low voter turnout. President Trump got the most votes of any sitting U.S. president in American history. President Trump has activated tens of millions of new first-time voters into the voting process. Republicans like Kevin McCarthy and Lindsey Graham know that if they are going to take back the House of Representatives and the Senate in 2022, Donald Trump is the key to do that. His base is motivated, they're angry, and they are not willing to support just any establishment Republican unless President Trump gives them a reason to do it. And even then, you are going to see some tapering off effect. That is, unless, what if Donald Trump was on the ballot? Now, you might say, well, why would Donald Trump be on the ballot in 2022? One of my favorite presidents to study is John Quincy Adams. He's called by many historians that I respect. There's historians I respect and historians I don't respect. But the historians I respect, because they're very wise and they're very fair in their historical writings, they call him the smartest president ever, the wisest president. That may or may not be true. Son of John Adams, John Quincy Adams, he's one of the only presidents to lose a re-election. He was the second to do so. The first was his father, the second U.S. president, John Adams. Washington, Adams, Jefferson, Madison, Monroe, John Quincy Adams, and then Andrew Jackson. John Quincy Adams, who lost re-election to Andrew Jackson. So Adams considered permanently retiring from public life after his 1828 defeat. And he was very, very hurt by the suicide of his son, John Washington Adams. But he was so taken back by many of Andrew Jackson's actions, he ran for Congress. And he won. John Quincy Adams, a former president, became a member of Congress. He grew bored of his retirement and still felt that his career was unfinished. So he ran for a U.S. House of Representatives seat in 1830, and he won. John Quincy Adams had a lot of power over the legislative direction of Congress in the 1830s, when America was still in its infancy and we were still figuring out who we were as a country. Donald Trump should run for Congress in 2022 and become Speaker of the House. Trump for Congress. Laura Trump, by the way, should run for Senate in North Carolina. I think she will. This will activate the 75 million people that voted. If you get 75 million people to turn out nationwide in a midterm election, you will win 80 House seats. That Trump base that people are worrying about how to mobilize and how to activate, this is how you do it. You might say, well, where will he run? Well, they're redrawing all the maps in Florida. They're about to draw a very conservative district right near Mar-a-Lago. You don't have to live in the district that you run in. Donald Trump wins by 30 points. And with it, Donald Trump will raise about $600 to $1 million to $800 million to help other House candidates across the country. The Democrats will have a slow-moving, unpopular administration to defend with Kamala Harris and Joe Biden. And Donald Trump then can be Speaker of the House against President Joe Biden, controlling a legislative branch against the executive. And in the line of succession, it would go Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Donald Trump. And then Donald Trump can launch his presidential campaign, if he so chooses, for 2024. Or he could say a kingmaker and control Speaker of the House, and he would be the first president in American history to be impeached twice, acquitted twice, won an election, lost an election, became Speaker of the House. That's a pretty cool thing to say. And what is he going to do, golf for the next couple of years? I'm saying this 100% serious, but I'm saying it with levity, obviously, because this idea is new, and some of you might think it's a good idea, some of you might not. And I want you to email me your thoughts on this idea, Trump for Congress, freedom@charliekirk.com. And for some of you who say, I need him to run for president, well, this would actually not restrict that either. He could run for Congress, and he could run for president. The Democrats will be running for the hills if Trump were to run again in 2022 in the midterms. So Kevin McCarthy has embraced Donald Trump. Mitch McConnell has dumped Trump. But there's still 70 to 75 million people that will go and vote in a midterm election. Let's pretend it's only 55 million people. 20 million sit out. That's an extraordinary amount of people to vote in a midterm election. We're talking about governor's races, Senate races. You take back legislative control. And then you have Donald Trump as Speaker of the United States House of Representatives. Where then all the people in Congress that he's had to deal with for so long will have to deal with him. Now, the other option is that Trump can go and help a lot of these House candidates, and the Speaker of the House does not have to be a member of Congress. So he could become Speaker of the House as a non-member of Congress. But the point is this. It's time to play offense against the Democrats. And what a Trump for Congress idea would do is in the interim here, where we're trying to find who's in charge, where the leader is, let's go raise hundreds of millions of dollars quickly to go take back the House and keep this movement going. You want to clarify the record? You want to make sure that the Democrats are not able to miscategorize those of us that believe in conservative values as being domestic terrorists? Let's go out and advocate for our ideas publicly and win public office. Democrats are already slated to have a very bad midterm. The incumbent party does very poorly on midterm elections. That is one of the things that manifests itself repeatedly in American political history. Our production team said, did you just say the Speaker of the House doesn't have to be a member of Congress? That's correct. You do not have to be a member of Congress to become Speaker of the House. You do not. They can elect any private citizen that they choose. It is a very little known provision in the rules of the House of Representatives. You could be a non-House of Representative member. I don't think it's ever happened before. So Trump could still become Speaker of the House if he bargains a deal and he says, look, we're going to take back the majority. I'm going to go raise $1 billion and campaign for all these candidates, but you're going to go elect me for Speaker. So he could do it as a non-member too. I just think it would be cooler if he was a member. It'd be more likely. They'd elect him as Speaker of the House in an instant. There's some very interesting creative ideas, because here's the long and short of it. Donald Trump is just as popular today as he was before January the 6th. He's sitting on hundreds of millions of dollars that could be deployed politically. He is a grassroots machine that is ready to be deployed at any moment. It'd be a mistake not to use it. It would be the ultimate way to play offense right now in this era where they are trying every way they possibly can to dominate American politics. Why not elect the man who got the most votes of any sitting president in American history to Congress and with it, Speaker of the House? And so Donald Trump, in a very interesting way, has been, I think he was listening to a Simon and Garfunkel song recently. The Sound of Silence. Is the silence from Trump the last couple of weeks has been deafening. No Twitter, no Instagram, no Facebook, no YouTube. Maybe a press release here and there, but his lack of commentary on everything that's been happening has been very loud. I just love that song from Simon and Garfunkel, The Sound of Silence. I'll never forget. And the people bowed and prayed to the neon god they made. And the words of the prophet are written on the subway halls and tenement halls. It's a beautiful poetry. And more importantly, it's an obvious contradiction. It's an irony because silence has no sound, but it's perfect because when there is no sound, sometimes that sound is deafening. And so the globalist himself, who's worth, I don't know, $130, $140 billion, Bill Gates, he's come out and said something very surprising. But he said it for a reason that is different than why you might think he's saying it. So Donald Trump's been kicked off of all social media. And so Donald Trump has made a strategic decision to just go completely radio silent. He says, fine, you want to kick me off all these platforms? I'm not going to give any of your activist media networks any sort of monetization on my comments. We're done. I'm going to allow the Sound of Silence to blanket the airwaves. Now, I'm not going to lie. I would have loved his windmill commentary this week. I missed the tweet at 5 a.m. 2 days ago in all caps that would have been sent. All caps. Windmills are the worst. We need fracking. Hashtag MAGA. Or the tweet after that at 5:03 a.m. that would have came in all caps. Joe Biden, call me if you need help with windmills. And so Donald Trump has decided to use the Sound of Silence as an offensive weapon. And it's been working. So the Democrats and the ruling class, they're realizing, wait a second. When Trump is not talking, it's very hard to attack him. So let's get him talking again. And let me be very clear. Donald Trump voluntarily not saying something, which I support the strategy because I think it's been brilliant, is not the same as me saying I want him not to have access to social media. It's a completely different thing. And nor am I saying that him not having access to social media has been a good thing. That's not my argument. The nuance is Donald Trump shutting himself up. That's probably a little brutal way to say it. Donald Trump stopping discussion voluntarily has been a chess move the media can't figure out. And this is why Bill Gates, the globalist, is saying, well, maybe we should allow him back on social media. Cut 56.
Well, I think at some point he probably will be allowed back on and probably should be allowed back on. You know, it's weird when you're, you know, saying that the election was stolen without any facts there and how corrosive that is. But I'll bet they'll find a way to let him back on.
I think Bill Gates misses Donald Trump. I think Bill Gates can get his globalist, borderless, trillionaire pandering agenda passed when there is Donald Trump in the American narrative. I think they're wrong about this, but I think that also that the chattering class and the people that made millions and hundreds of millions of dollars off of Donald Trump, I think they miss him. I think at CNN, they want nothing more than for Trump to come back on social media. Not because they believe in freedom of speech, but because without him involved in the daily conversation, they're irrelevant. They basically became a Donald Trump reporting mechanism. That's why Bill Gates is saying that. Bill Gates is not an ambassador of free speech. Bill Gates wants Trump so that he can have a foil to justify his globalist schemes. As the China virus spreads across the world in the spring of 2020, Noble Gold investors flocked to precious metals as a financial safeguard. Gold is up more than 30% since March of 2020. Silver surged more than 50% over the same time period, reflecting the correlation among precious metals during times of financial volatility. But providing financial protection is not the only role that precious metals play in this fight. Precious metals also have broad applications in the medical field that go well beyond the dental uses most people associate with their value. But providing financial protection is not the only role that precious metals play in this fight. Gold and silver nanoparticles are an essential part of virus research and prevention. As the China virus mutates, science will have to adapt its prevention methods accordingly, and precious metals will continue to stay in demand. As for me, I will continue to trust the team at Noble Gold, a leading authority in the precious metals industry. If you have the kinds of questions I do about your financial mix and how to best leverage precious metals as a hedge against market uncertainty, I encourage you to visit noblegoldinvestments.com. Call their team for a free gold guide. Call Noble Gold today and tell them Charlie Kirk sent you for a special gift with all qualifying transfers. It's been the longest 15 days of my life. 15 days to slow the spread as we're still talking about the Chinese coronavirus and the lockdowns. You notice how we never actually had a full conversation about therapeutics in our country? It was always about vaccinations and lockdowns. Not about hydroxychloroquine or preventative measures that very well might have helped, vitamin D, zinc, exercise, outside. It was always just the two things. And then masks, of course. That was the big thing that they were talking about. And so I'm going to get in some sound here that helps build this out. The White House Chinese coronavirus advisor, Slavitz, is asked why California doesn't have better numbers despite them being locked down perpetually. Cut 60.
Last states like Florida and California, California basically in lockdown, and their numbers aren't that different from Florida.
Well, good morning, Stephanie. Look, there's so much of this virus that we think we understand, that we think we can predict, that's just beyond a little bit beyond our explanation. What we do know is that the more careful people are, the more they mask and social distance, and the quicker we vaccinate, the quicker it goes away and the less it spreads.
That's a lie. It's not true. There's not evidence to show that when you open up the economy and people that are not at risk of dying from the virus disproportionately of other populations, early 20-somethings, teenagers, the virus will spread and you will have natural herd immunity. I'm not talking about people over the age of 60 or 70 that are legitimately at risk if you have pre-existing health conditions. And if a respiratory virus very well might put your health at risk and with it your life. But this argument he's making, if you listen very carefully, he says, first, there's so much of this virus. Okay, there's not any more of the virus in California than Florida. It's a virus. It transmits through healthy, active, living carriers. That's the whole idea of a virus. But he says, what we do know is that when people stay in their homes, the virus goes away. That sounds good. But it's not necessarily true because the data doesn't reflect that. The data reflects something a lot more nuanced and something a lot more detailed than that. That when you trust people to make good decisions, that certain parts of the population that didn't need to be locked down for their welfare or their safety, they actually might get the virus and then they'll be able to proceed with their life. Why are Florida's numbers the best in the country per capita, putting into context the fact that it's an open state? Maybe it's because every portion of the American population, I should say every part of the Florida population, that's a better way to say it, handled it differently. That's what liberty allows you to do. I know people in Florida that have still not gone to a gathering, have not left their house or their neighborhood outside of going for a walk with a mask on since last March. There are people in their 80s, they have asthma, and they're very afraid of the virus, and they probably have a good reason to be. But they made the voluntary choice, and they worked hard so they didn't have to go to work for the rest for their life. And they also were very anti-lockdown. They're anti-lockdown because they said, I'll stay at home. I'm going to make my own decision about the virus. But I'm not going to try to make that decision for somebody else. Whereas the opposite of that, I know 16-year-olds in Illinois where their schools are still closed. Their sports have been canceled. They've left their home every so often, but their livelihood has been completely and totally destroyed. And the Biden administration now has a lot of explaining to do. And Joe Biden propagandized to the American public. The one thing he ran on, the one thing is that I'm going to crush and handle the virus. None of that was ever true. We knew that. People bought it and believed it just because they were told that Donald Trump was somehow to blame for all of this. And now the Biden administration has to explain why states that are completely locked down are doing far worse than the states that are opening up. I want to get to cut 59 of Governor Ron DeSantis in the great state of Florida reacting to the scandal that is now encircling Andrew Cuomo. Cut 59.
To March, I was getting criticized for not closing the beaches, which you don't close beaches for a respiratory virus. So I was right on that. But the media totally ignored how the governors were handling the nursing homes. We did an order right at the beginning saying hospitals cannot discharge COVID positive nursing home residents back to nursing homes. By doing that, we saved hundreds, if not thousands, of lives. And so we made the right decision at the outset. And again, the facts have borne us out over these many months.
And the media totally ignored how the governors were handling the nursing homes. Andrew Cuomo is now under federal criminal investigation for putting infected elderly patients into nursing homes. And he said, oh, that's just a statistical error. He pulled a Hillary Clinton and said, what difference does it make? Makes a very big difference how you categorized it. Because you put the infected patients into the nursing homes. We've known this for months, by the way. There was an amazing caller almost a year ago on Mark Levin's program who blew the whistle on this. And the New York Times, the Washington Post, CNN, Reuters, AP, Huffington Post, BuzzFeed, all of these groups didn't care to investigate any of this. You would have won a Pulitzer Prize. If it was a Republican, they would have resigned immediately. But Andrew Cuomo, who gets cover fire from Fredo on CNN.com. By the way, we have written about this extensively on CharlieKirk.com. So I encourage you guys to go right now to CharlieKirk.com and check it out. Was never asked a critical question about this. And it wasn't until Letitia James, who, by the way, is not my favorite person. She's gone after Donald Trump. She's gone after the NRA. She probably wants to be governor, which is exactly what's happening. She wants to take out Andrew Cuomo. And I'm not sure how it works in New York. I think they have a lieutenant governor, or it could be in New York where the attorney general becomes governor. Anyway, Letitia James wants to take out the Cuomo political family, no different than Elliot Spitzer got taken out for a very different scandal, but still a scandal nevertheless, using taxpayer funding dollars to hire prostitutes. I think that was the scandal. If you guys don't remember Elliot Spitzer, you missed a very interesting chapter in American political history, not to mention Schneiderman, who is the old attorney general of New York, who resigned recently on Letitia James. Then won re-election, because Eric Schneiderman was credibly accused of sexually abusing the women he was with and punching them in the jaw for sport. That was the former attorney general of New York. Anyway, so Letitia James comes out with this report, which legitimizes all of what we've been talking about for the last 9 months. And our team just looked it up. There's a long line of succession before the attorney general becomes governor of New York. However, that's not to say Letitia James couldn't possibly run for governor of New York, which she probably will. But she wants Cuomo out. There's a lot of people that want Cuomo to step down, all about him. Meanwhile, he wrote a book in the midst of all of this. Man, just the self-righteousness it takes to write a book about how well you're doing while you put infected Chinese coronavirus patients into a nursing home. Just stunning. And the media didn't care about any of it. The activist media was so uninterested in covering this story, they were despicable. And so Andrew Cuomo is now under serious fire for this. Can you show me one Democrat that has handled this virus correctly? One. J.B. Pritzker, disaster. Gavin Newsom, disaster. Andrew Cuomo, disaster. Bill de Blasio called Assemblyman Ron Kim's report of Cuomo's threatening phone calls as classic behavior from the governor. Bill de Blasio said, quote, "The bullying is nothing new." I hope Andrew Yang becomes the next mayor of New York. I really do. I think he'd actually be a pretty good mayor. Because you can't get any worse than Bill de Blasio. Once great American city that has just been completely and totally destroyed by bad policies, self-righteous, corrupt politicians. And so Andrew Cuomo now being under credible investigation and accusation has a lot of explaining to do. He went from being the model for how to handle the Chinese coronavirus to now being under very serious accusation and investigation for doing something that was so preventable. Why do this? Why lie about it? And why do it in the first place? There's no political upside. You could have been very honest. You were blaming everyone else for everything else at the same time. You were blaming Trump, even though President Trump brought in, literally brought in an aircraft carrier style ship into the harbor, the USS Mercy, I believe it was called. They set up tents in Central Park. It's as if New York was anticipating for a thermonuclear weapon to be detonated in New York. By the way, the USS Comfort, it was the Comfort and the Mercy, that's right, that were never really used. It was like 10 or 12 people, I believe, that were used. Cuomo never thanked the Trump administration. Well, that's not true. He did one soundbite and he got pushback for it and then he stopped, but that soundbite still exists. Cuomo got all the PPE he needed. Cuomo got all the relief funding he needed. Cuomo got all of the support he needed. Cuomo got all the federal assistance he needed. And then Cuomo goes on a multi-month lecture tour across New York on all the major media networks with his slow, self-righteous, meandering way of talking, blaming Trump for the virus. And what does Andrew Cuomo call it? The European virus. Remember, they even turned the Javits Center into a massive hospital and they ended up not putting anyone there. And then he blamed Trump for all the nursing home deaths. What more help could Andrew Cuomo have received? What else would he have needed to possibly screw this up? Hundreds of millions of dollars, and not billions of dollars, flowed into New York to help Andrew Cuomo. And that goes to a deeper point that I really want to explore with you guys. You want to know how to divide the country? Do exactly what Andrew Cuomo, Joe Biden, Gavin Newsom, and J.B. Pritzker are doing. These are the most self-righteous, self-interested people I've ever seen in American politics. If you believe that this Chinese coronavirus was a once-in-a-century event, and this was similar to the death toll, even more so, a multiple of Pearl Harbor and 9/11, but the damage it did to our country, does that mean we should be in a post-political moment? So why is it Cuomo, Pritzker, Newsom, Brown, all these people, they don't say, you know what? Thank you, President Trump, for delivering us a vaccine and PPE. Instead, it's your fault. We've done everything right. I still get excited to get a package in the mail, don't you? Well, after spending some time on the phone the other day with Dr. Douglas Howard, the doctor who formulated Balance on Nature's blend of real fruits and veggies, he sent me my first month's supply. I'm now taking responsibility for my own health. With Balance on Nature, I get 10 servings each day from a proprietary blend of 31 different fruits and veggies. 10 servings a day. For me, there's no other way I could get even close to getting this level of valuable and wholesome nutrition. I just pop a few capsules and I'm good for the entire day. So please join me in the quest for your best health. I want to make it easy for you to experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself. Order today, and as a new preferred customer, you'll receive an additional 35% discount and free shipping on your first Balance of Nature. order when you use the discount code CHARLIE. Call 800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use the discount code CHARLIE. I'm going after my best health. What about you? Balanceofnature.com, use the discount code CHARLIE. A Christian pastor from Edmonton, Canada, has been jailed for breaking Alberta's Public Health Act by continuing to hold church services when ordered to stop. This is on Breitbart.com by Thomas D. Williams, Dr. Thomas D. Williams. Reverend James Coates on Grace Life Church of Edmonton turned himself into police on Tuesday, 2 days after officials attended his Sunday service to assess compliance with conditions issued to the pastor. Police said in a news release Wednesday. Grace Life has held worship services for 3 consecutive weeks. And after it was ordered to close at the end of January because of restrictions related to the Chinese coronavirus. His lawyer said, quote, his first obedience is to the Lord, is to his God. And normally obeying Jesus and obeying the government go right hand in hand. The government's forcing him into a position where he has to choose between disobeying God and obeying governments, or obeying God and disobeying government. The government has come out and said, the pastor's actions and subsequent effects those actions could have on the health and safety of our citizens dictated our response to the situation. They were already fined, and now he's being put in solitary confinement for hosting church. This is Canada, North America, our neighbor. This pastor should be released immediately. Joe Biden should call Justin Trudeau and say, if you do not release this pastor from prison, I'm putting sanctions and tariffs on Canada. He'd be out within 5 seconds. But they don't have religious liberty in Canada. They do not have a First Amendment like we do. The First Amendment like we do is a document that has the Establishment Clause and the Free Expression Clause. The Founding Fathers knew that if you do not have the liberty to religiously assemble, to recognize where your rights come from, to have a connection to your creator, then you cannot have a decent and civil society. You go back to the documents, the Magna Carta, the Mayflower Compact. The people who built this country understood that. The Canadians have always been a different form of government, obviously with French roots, much more social democratic, soft socialist style of government. It's a different culture. It's a different lifestyle. It's a different way of living. I'm not saying it's necessarily bad. It's not my style. It's a lot slower moving. It's a lot less rewarding of ambition and risk taking. It's a lot more likely to imprison a pastor that is preaching the word of God. Now, this guy is not an existential threat to anyone. Anyone that shows up to his church service made the voluntary choice to go there. It's not like he's walking into people's homes and exposing himself to them. The virus, that is. Instead, he's just allowing voluntary assembly to occur. This is already happening in many different ways in our country, where my friend Mike McClure from Calvary Chapel, San Jose, is being criminalized for doing this exact same thing. Where are the rest of the pastors in the churches rising up against this? Most of the big Christian incorporated pastors across the country, Rick Warren, the skinny jean people that do all these different YouTube live streams, they are silent on this issue. Because they probably think he deserves it. They actually think that we are called to be always and repeatedly subservient to government. It's a misreading of the text of Romans 13. I don't have to get into that right now. That's a deeper podcast and a different radio show for a different time. I encourage you to check out the Charlie Kirk Show podcast for that analysis. But now a peaceful, courageous pastor is in jail, Reverend James Coates, in solitary confinement because he decided to host a church service for a virus that we know how it operates, we know how it travels, we know its mortality rate, we know all of that. And it's coming all across this continent, and it's coming to our country very soon. And until pastors, until churches get very serious about the threat of government tyranny and the government and the state's willingness to use that force against peaceful assembly, they will not stop. So if you want to and do something for freedom and liberty this weekend. Do something for this pastor, Reverend Coates, in Canada. All he wanted to do was obey God and have a church service. And the Canadian government has deemed that to be enough to put you in solitary confinement. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you'd like to support us, go to charliekirk.com/support. God bless you. Speak to you soon.